Yeah, so I mean, we don't need to talk about anything.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk more about convergence, a little bit about the Fearless Comedy Productions Room Party, and we tell a few of our favorite convergence stories.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my wife and co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Just Tim. Just Tim this time. You're fucking with my name every time.
Well, now I'm going to make it a thing.
Well, it's already a thing. I'm just calling out the thing.
It's been purely coincidental up until you mentioning it. Now, forever, it will be deliberate.
You know who else calls out the thing? Reed Richards. He
calls him out on his rocky bullshit.
Oh, my God.
Ben, quit smashing through walls.
Exactly.
I'm no fun at all. Fucking stick in the mud, Reed Richards. Anyway, we're Geeks Without God, and today we're not going to talk about how much Reed Richards sucks. We could.
We'll save that for a different episode.
We're going to talk more about convergence and some of the things we're looking forward to and maybe some favorite convergence stories.
Because convergence is like this week. This episode comes on Tuesday.
It's Thursday.
Boom! Yeah. We're in the hotel.
I'm super excited.
Some of us earlier than that, even. There are people who are there setting it up and in the hotel already.
Yeah, right now, as we speak, they're there.
I'll be in the hotel on Wednesday.
Yeah?
So.
All right.
We'll be in the hotel on Wednesday.
I got work to do. Shut up.
We don't have a hotel room.
We don't have a hotel room this year. Yeah.
So if you see us and you're like, do you guys want to sleep in our hotel room? That's cool. No funny business, but like, I mean, with each other we will, but you can watch,
don't,
I guess.
Wait, what? Just give us a bed and don't get fresh.
Yeah,
I mean, like, wash yourself, but like, please.
Wash yourself.
The bed cannot contain you.
That is important. Wash yourself.
But, there's, we're going to be recording there, we've mentioned, mm-hmm. It'll be our 1 year anniversary, which is super validating and awesome.
It's we've actually, by the time we hit convergence, we will have gotten out an episode every week since
without
we
fail.
Started.
Yeah,
without
it, fail. Even through holidays and Renaissance Festival and vilification,
illness,
fringe shows, new jobs.
Yeah,
it's
because the three of us are really that fucking anal. I think.
Well.
I like fucking anal. I mean,
the sex episode.
This isn't the boners episode.
No.
I have a boner for anal.
Wow.
Speaking of convergence,
the pain of anal.
our recording at convergence, because we're seasoned vets at this point, our recording slot isn't like. Fuck me in the ass early in the morning.
Well, back with the anal.
Back to anal.
Yeah.
It isn't at like 6 a.m. on a Sunday or whatever it was last year.
When is that slot?
It's, we got the sweet spot of Saturday at 5 p.m.
I hope we validate that with people showing up to watch
That's
it.
A sweet spot. I mean, that's like
nice
before
spot.
The partying, but like you're well rested and fed. Maybe you're a few drinks in, so we're funnier.
If all both of you listeners come and watch our podcast, that would be great.
That would be awesome.
And we filled it last time, but that's because they didn't know how awful we would be.
It's true.
And we got Melissa Kershaw back.
Yeah.
She was our first guest on our first podcast.
And then PZ Myers, finally.
I know. I mean,
that's going to be great.
Yeah, he's actually been every now and again mentioning on Twitter, like, I don't know why I haven't been a guest on God yet. And we're like, because we're just too cool for you,
if you
PZ.
See,
that's right.
If you see PZ Myers between now and Convergence, make sure you ask him, why haven't you been a guest on Geeks Without God yet?
Yeah, please
do
that.
Did they hate you
like,
or something?
Yeah, make it seem like you're shocked. Just shocked.
Yeah. What an insult to you, PZ Myers, that they haven't. Come groveling.
I don't know what we're going to talk about with Melissa, but what I really want the title of the episode, because the first episode with Melissa, we talked about Prometheus, that horrible movie.
And
most of the time we spent just bitching about how stupid it was, and I want the title of the episode just to be, and another thing about Prometheus.
Yeah, that could happen. That could happen. But I mean, there's still. I don't think we talked completely about how much that movie sucks.
I don't think I could if I talked for the rest of my life, and
yeah.
I will.
Yeah, I know.
And PZ, I want to talk evolution with PZ.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Creationism.
It's gonna go like this. It's evolution, huh? Yep. It's pretty cool. Yep. We all believe in it.
5 minutes. Yeah. And now, PZ, our five questions.
No, our five questions.
What are your favorite backwards-ass evolutionary success traits?
If your favorite sandwich was going to evolve into something better, what would it evolve into?
If I take a bite out of a sandwich, why doesn't that sandwich's child also have a bite taken out of it?
If I came from monkeys, how come there's still sandwiches?
Checkmate, atheists.
How come this sandwich fits so perfectly in my mouth?
It's like a
how come humans don't throw their poop?
If you ask me, this sandwich was designed to be eaten by me, the creator.
Awesome.
Our sandwich
game
artist,
set
God.
And match evolutionist.
Yeah, take that.
I love doing live episodes.
Yeah.
I really do. It's
a blast.
I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I just love having an audience.
Absolutely.
You didn't. Of course I love it. What am I going to say?
I don't want to assume that it's like just, you know, it's I love doing it in front of the audience. I love that. Yeah. More anal. This episode all about the anal.
Public bumming. All right. That's the episode title. So, another cool thing that's happening at Convergence that we are going to be a part of is Fearless Comedy Productions is doing a room party in room 224.
Why, Fearless Comedy Productions, that amazing new comedy production company that brings you such things as Geese Without God and Big Fun Radio Fun Time?
Yeah.
Awesome. I love those guys.
They're awesome.
You're
They're
such
great.
A good shill.
Yeah.
That blonde one's hot.
So that's a room party.
Courtney's not blonde anymore.
It's a room party every night of the convention, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, right?
Yep.
And they're going to do a whole bunch of stuff, and they ask partners like ourselves to take some hosting time in the room party.
Yes.
And so at some point, we'll probably put it up on the Facebooks and the website. We'll talk about what shift we're going to run.
I think it's Friday at 8.
Friday at 8, is that what it was?
Friday at 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
So probably Friday evening, 8 p.m., if you swing by room 224, we'll be hosting the party at that point. What that means is we might have some sneaky way of getting you drunk if you're of a legitimate drinking age.
We definitely have a sneaky way of getting you drunk.
Yeah.
And there's talk of some fun photo backdrop opportunities stuff that you know for
you know fearless, I think we ought to do with the room I, you know I have this idea but it probably won't convince people to go there. We ought to give away Left Behind the board game while we're there.
Oh yeah.
or yeah. Have you already gotten rid of it? Did you guys
no
burn
we've got it?
Oh.
What we could do,
there's a fundraiser that's going to be happening as well for Fearless. They're going to be trying to use the room party to raise money to, well, I mean, A, recoup the cost of a room party, but B, so that we can do more comedy, and who knows, maybe new comedy could include new recording equipment for a podcast at some point.
Some
maybe
podcast. We'll,
maybe we could auction it off or do some kind of, like, raffle for tickets, then we'll, and if we all sign it, and we can maybe get Brienne and
I
the
think
people
there's,
who
oh, yeah,
sign
Brienne
it.
Brienne and Stephanie and Jason will all be at
we
the...
Can, if
yeah,
all
yeah.
six of us sign the game, and then we can maybe raffle it off, and if you buy enough tickets, you know, that would be a good way to do it.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
we might be able to figure
I'm
out
glad we talked about that before the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys just heard an amazing idea happen, and don't forget it was mine.
That was completely improv and not at all pre-planned. But yeah, so Left Behind the board game. If you hate yourself, you can get our copy and then force yourself to play it, and then become our arch enemies, I guess.
And then find some way to give it to somebody else.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Left Behind the board game is something you got to pay forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like herpes.
You pay it forward like when someone punches you, so you have to punch them harder.
Yeah.
To get them back because that's justice. Like, yeah.
So for Fearless, since I'm the artistic director of Fearless, I will say part of what we're doing for fundraising, we're going to be working on raising money for equipment for Big Fun Radio Fun Time, which is a show that I'm doing. We need better equipment for recording. And we're also starting the fund drive, the membership drive, because one of our goals is to have a theater. We want to have a theater building where we can produce shows. And that's not a cheap prospect.
But that could, that show space could be live recording space for Geeks Without God.
Absolutely. If you support Fearless, you're supporting Geeks Without God, period.
Imagine if we had a Geeks Without God movie night where you could come down to the theater and watch Left Behind with us and make fun of it MST3K style.
Yep. Think about that. Think of all the possibilities that could happen. All you need to do is become a member.
Or think of at least
1-800-227-2811.
Thanks, Steve Seal.
There's going to be a membership drive. You'll be able, people will be able to basically pledge for a membership, and there's going to be like a membership discount card. And,
cool.
Various partners will offer things. I don't know if Geeks Without God is going to have something on there. It's hard to offer a discount to a free podcast.
Mm-hmm. But we'll do it.
Yeah.
We will make this freer.
You can have a double free Geeks Without God podcast.
That's right. Today only, you can download as many times as you want. And we can
turn our theme song into a ringtone for people that donate in our name.
Ooh. Mm. That's not actually too hard.
Yeah.
But that sounds, I like stuff that's easy.
One of us could flash our boobs. You have a 1 in 3 chance of it being pretty disappointing.
And a 2 in 3 chance of it being very disappointing.
I like that idea, actually. Yeah.
Well, we'll work on this a little more before
these
the
are great
starts.
Ideas. So, what are you talking about? Work on it.
All three of us are in the opening ceremony sketch, which is super secret and we can't talk about too much.
But on Thursday, you can
On Thursday evening, you should come check out opening ceremonies, which I have to admit, in the more than 10 whatever years of Convergence, I've never been to a single opening or closing ceremony.
Me neither.
Have you guys read the script? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. You like it?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
I was in the closing ceremonies video from last year, but I didn't go and watch it.
Yeah.
I still didn't go watch closing ceremonies, mostly because I didn't want to watch Sophie Aldred see me pretend to be her.
You fucking diva. I never watch my own work.
No, it was more like I don't want to watch her watch me pretend to be Ace.
Yeah.
When she literally was Ace.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. I get that.
I didn't even have a bat because they forgot to bring it. So
you were in costume for that video.
Yes, I was. But I actually am really excited about my costuming is my favorite part of Convergence.
Your favorite part? Really?
It is. It is. Right. Wearing a costume is favorite part of Convergence.
You guys cosplay a lot.
I love wearing costumes.
Any excuse to dress up. I mean, like Halloween or themed parties.
I'm always in costume at the Ville shows because I love to wear costumes. Yeah, yeah. I do. So
I wore a man-sized diaper it was a bed sheet, but
still, like, if at work when they're like, you can dress up for Halloween, done. Like, I might always.
My previous employer, Vizzy, the local internet service provider, their birthday was Halloween. The company's founded on Halloween, so they always had a company costume contest every year.
So at Convergence, Nick and I always start thinking about our Convergence costumes pretty much the year before. Like, at Convergence the year before.
Do you try to key
them
into
it.
The theme, or do you not really give a fuck?
I always try to key them into the theme. Uh-huh. Like, when it was villains, the year it was villains, I did Emma Frost, Nick did Kingpin.
Yep.
Last year for, what was last year? Women. Last year for the women one, I did because I thought it was a stupid theme. I did hunter gatherers post op hunter gatherers. So I did a man who had just gotten his post op. So he had like big boobs and long red hair and like stubble. And so it's from the Venture Brothers. So like that was me being a woman. I was a man as a woman.
All right.
I've done American McGee's Alice. I've done. The baby from our baby Firefly from House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah. From the Authority.
From Jenny Sparks.
Jenny Sparks.
That's what I'm gonna do this year. I did Jenny Sparks 1 year before. I didn't have a lot of time to put it together, and it didn't work all that well. A couple people did know who I was, which was great, but this year it's going to be way better. So,
well, it's on theme because
she's British. So I'm going to do a Jenny Sparks costume. I'm going to do Lara Croft, but I'm going to do regular boobs Lara Croft. The new Lara Croft from the new Tomb Raider game.
Yeah.
Because she's wearing pants and her shirt comes all the way down and her boobs are normal.
Right.
And she's tough.
Beat to shit.
But she's also
it's a survivor story.
Yeah, she's not like big boobs, skinny arms and legs, wearing tiny shorts and somehow doing.
She's like, athletic build, like somehow
and
managing
beat up,
to survive.
And I'm gonna do all the blood and the dirt.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be cool. And then I had another idea that I was going to do. I don't remember what it is anymore.
I don't either.
I have to. I'll have to think about it while Nick tells you his. Nick's got.
I've got three costumes I'm going to do this year. One of them is a Batman villain that got a lot of use for recently for by Grant Morrison, Professor Pig. It's PYG.
Okay.
And I just found a really good pig half mask. And the rest is like a butcher's apron and power tools and a red bow tie and stuff like that. And so he's obviously a villainous murdering doctor kind of guy that I can pull off. I try to dress like reasonably within my body type.
Yeah.
So that's theme is always less of an issue to me than finding a good costume that works for me because I'm monstrous sometimes. And so because I'm monstrous sometimes, there's a villain character for Venture Brothers that is Monstroso, who's a giant guy who's kind of a like devil's contract, like deal with the devil lawyer villain in Venture Brothers.
He is a literal giant,
and like he is an enormous guy.
He's like 8 feet tall,
ridiculously deep voice, and he's just.
Of a guy.
Black suit and red shirt and
beard.
And then shave my beard into a goatee and
he looks like a stereotypical depiction of the devil if the devil was 8 feet tall and 400 pounds.
Wow.
Like that's kind of what it so it's got that goatee and like the kind of red and black
hat look. With a widow's peak like hood
the cap.
With the horns yeah. Like the cap thing.
Are you actually going to shave your beard for that?
Yeah, into a goatee. Yeah,
right. He shaved all his hair and his beard for Kingpin and
sure.
It was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird. But then my third costume, which I'll have to do, which I'll do before Monstroso, is my favorite of the three, and unfortunately it'll probably be the least recognized, but there's a character named Mason Savoy from the Image comic Chew, who is a chibopath. He anything he eats, he gets the like psycho memory of the object.
Oh, yeah.
So if he eats a steak, he knows the life of the cow, the butchering process, the any sort of treatment or processing it underwent, and to the point where mild cannibalism will allow you to develop skills from the people you've eaten.
Huh.
And he's kind of a greater good anti-hero villain of the series. And he's a big dude with a green monocle, gray streaks in his beard, or white streaks in his beard, and a brown suit cravat type thing. And I've totally got just about everything to pull it off. And I'm Bob Alberti, a guest friend of the show, is going to take a picture of me and we can photo edit it to make it look like one of the covers of Chew, the comic that he was on the cover of, that I want to send to the creators, just because they don't get a lot of cosplay pictures.
Probably not.
Or not a lot for Savoy, specifically.
And I'm just the right size for it. Pretty severe, serious geek. There won't be many people that recognize the costume, but there will probably be more than
that. I'm sure more than I would imagine, but not the appeal of like Kingpin. Or,
yeah.
Or,
yeah. So I remember the third costume I might try. I had to think about if I can do it or not, but we've been watching the show Defiance, and the character Lisa in Defiance is...
Arathian.
She's an Ithian.
Arathian.
Is it? Arathian. So she's got... So I can just show Tim, but we'll post a picture on the thing. But
yeah, you can totally do that.
I think so. It's a little makeup intensive. I would have to
need a little prosthetic or something.
I would need to do something like latexy to cover up my eyebrows and kind of protrude. They have kind of a weird donut shape in their brow, kind of. So, but I think I could pull it off. I'm gonna look up ways to do it. I'm not gonna do it if I can't do it right, obviously. And also, the costuming is pretty intense. Like the actual what she wears is very it would be very hard
kind
to find
adventure
it.
Gear.
Yeah, I'd have to find the right stuff. So I don't know. It's a thought, but I also have I think I'm gonna buy like think Geek has a Harley Quinn tank dress that I might just get and then do like I like to have something that I can wear Thursdays and Sundays. I don't necessarily like to be in a full costume, but I still like to be like dressed up for cons.
Like Star Trek.
Like my Star Trek
uniform,
dress that I wore to our first podcast or things like that. So I'm excited.
And Tim, I understand you're going to be in costume as a penis wrinkle on Saturday.
I don't do a lot of cosplaying. It's not because I don't like wearing costumes. It's because I just don't have the time to put anything together.
Sure.
If I can't do it right, I'm not into doing the half-assed cosplay. Sure.
Yeah,
well,
no,
you dress up half-assed for opening ceremony skits and closing ceremony skits and stuff like that in the past, though.
Well, yeah, but that, I mean, that wasn't even half-assed. The opening ceremony skits, Wendy Bowlesby, who was one of the people that founded the convention with me, she's a master costumer, and she did fucking kick-ass costumes. So mm-hmm. it's like if we were going to do a... So we did a skit one year where we did... Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. And she did a fucking... I got to be Animal, and I've still got the costume with the head and everything like that, but the thing is, that's so hard to walk around the convention with that. You know, and I have a Mal costume from one year where we did a Firefly mashup sketch. And,
I can
and
see
I
that. Got,
so, I mean, she did really cool costumes, and I've still got some of those. But I tend to not want to spend my time getting into the costumes. I've got too much other stuff that I want to do. But I love looking at other people's stuff.
That's fun, too. I had a good time with that. When I went as Kingpin, which is probably my most successful con costume ever, probably, I went around and got pictures with every supervillain I could find for like a supervillain team-up picture. And then I started to find just the bald ones, like the Lex Luthers, the Red Skulls.
Yeah, cool.
There was a dude who was Lord Humongous from the second Mad Max movie, who was like 7 feet tall and perfect for it.
Yeah, I think he does it every year.
I think he might. The hockey mask dude. Yeah. And so just a picture of me doing the Colbert, point. Huh. Like, look who I'm with.
Yeah.
And with other bald villains. Yeah,
we gotta get a couple of pictures. Do you have some?
Oh, we got tons of our costume pictures.
We gotta get
a
couple of them to put on the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. I think we're gonna talk about favorite Convergent stories too.
Yeah.
If we have time, I think we're.
We got time. We got it quick. But,
Molly,
you know what? I do actually. So this is sappy, but my favorite Convergent story is so Nick and I hooked up at Convergence, as everyone knows, and I say it like that, and it sounds like we had sex at Convergence, which we did not, but that's when we first
No time for sex at Convergence.
No, especially, yeah. Nick was a con suite subhead at that point.
Yeah.
And so he really didn't have time. I mean, I saw him here and there, but we, so we were friends, and we'd known each other for a couple years at this point, and I had a huge crush on him that I thought was just never going to come to fruition, because I just assumed that was either he wasn't interested or it was just a bad idea, because for a lot of reasons. But and he had a crush on me, unbeknownst to me, and had for some time as well, and also assumed that I would never be interested. So we were with a bunch of friends, there was like six of us, that all went to watch The Rocketeer in Cinema Rex, and we got on one of those big couches where we were all on the same couch, and I was on one end, and I like to put my legs up. I don't like to sit just up in a chair. It makes me uncomfortable when my legs get tired. So I asked Nick, who was just sitting next to me, I'm like, hey, do you mind if I throw my legs over your lap while we watch this? And he's like, no, it's fine. So I turn and throw my legs over his lap, and he, you know, just naturally, because, you know, where to put his arm, just put his hand on my knee. And, you know, like, I have since admitted to, like, kind of making the first move by putting my legs in his lap in the first place. But, like, it's as we were watching the movie, like, he kind of started stroking my knee a little bit, and I was like, huh. And then all of a sudden he put his arm around me and kind of pulled me in a little closer to him, and I don't know, a spark started flying, and that's how we got together. So it's going to be 8 years this year. So every time we go watch a movie in CinemaRex, and we even remember which couch it is, like, you can, it's like, oh, there's that couch.
Is the couch still there?
Or where it was.
And it's great. It was really great. And it was great, because it was like this, it's con condenses everything and makes everything as like a boiling pot in a way. So like, but it happened slow considering it was Convergence. It was like, it was that moment. And then like, I think the next day I wanted to go swimming. And so we went swimming, and like, then that was kind of like, water.
Like, there was like three dudes who had a thing for you that weekend, and you were newly single, and no one would go swimming with you except for me.
Yeah, and that said a lot, like, because he was like, fuck that. It, and just took his shirt off. And I remember, he just took his shirt off, jumped right in, and that was like, all right, well, this guy is fun.
I
so,
go
like,
swimming in my kilt.
Yep, yeah, yeah, it was great. And then, as I was leaving on Sunday, he was like, you know, I really, it was kind of weird, that unspoken, like, you don't really, if we talk about it, it might go away, kind of a thing. And, and he was like, well, I have to stay. Like, I have to stay through Dead Dog and Unload and all this stuff and everything. But can I come over to your house? you know, tomorrow. And I was like, sure. And then the rest is history. So yeah. That's my favorite.
The Cinema Rex moment was like, version. Was like a weird, one of those weird moments you have that's like a really private moment, but in public.
Yeah.
But like, it's still private. Because it's so public that no one noticed.
Well, everybody's like, watching the movie. They don't right. even notice,
and like,
right?
You know how you can tell, you don't have to say anything, you can just tell from someone's, like, the pressure of their touch or, like, the way that they are breathing or something. You can just tell that they're into you.
There's more than just,
that it's,
you know,
not
yeah.
just
being
friendly.
Just a friend.
Yeah, sure. And that's how it was. And I just remember, like, I can still feel, like, the way my pulse quickened. No. And it was like, oh, man.
Tim, what's your favorite Convergence moment?
There are a lot, but the one that I'm going to pick, just because, you know, as I said in the last episode where we talked about Convergence, I'm one of the seven people that started the convention.
Yeah.
And, you know, we spent a year and a half putting together
yep.
the con, and we got, and it was a lot of hard work.
Yeah, you talked about it a little bit last time, all the stuff you had to do.
Well, we met every week.
Yeah.
We had a meeting every week, 3, 4, 5 hour meetings every week, putting all this shit together. Mm-hmm. And it was constant. There were emails flying back yeah. and forth all the time. At a time when email was not shit that people did all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
But all this work, and you get to the con and it's like it could be a complete disaster. And it was the exact opposite. It was the best any of us could have possibly imagined and more.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the end of that weekend, and you know, I don't want to make it sound like the seven of us did everything, because we didn't. There
sure.
were there was, you know, 100 people putting on that convention, or you know, maybe at that
sure.
time it was 50, but there were a ton of people who did a ton of work, you know, but
at the end of the day, you guys are all going to get back together at the end of it. And
at the same time, there was no way that thing, that ball ever got rolling
mm-hmm.
if it wasn't for the seven people that busted their ass to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Ishmael Williams, who is the only member of the original group that's still on the board at this point, said, hey, I want to talk to you guys in Cons Week for a little bit. And we're like, uh-oh, because, you know, this is a thing where, you know, every now and again, it's because shit goes down every
year. Yeah, sure, yep, every time.
And if you're one of the people in charge, what inevitably happens is, you know, one of the other seven would come up and go, did you hear what just happened with blankety blank? It's like, no, what?
Yeah.
And they brought it in, and you're like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah,
what the
yeah,
hell? So,
yeah.
So we're like thinking, Ishmael's going to give us this thing. And he just sits us all down, and we're all sitting there, and we're pretty euphoric.
Of course.
I mean, really, we're like, we fucking pulled this
plus
off.
The no sleep for 4 days or three
yeah.
days kind of a thing.
3 days.
Doesn't help either.
And we were just like, this is fucking awesome. And Ishmael just sits down. He looks at all of us and says, so, what does it feel like to have a tiger by the tail?
Yeah.
We're all like, shit.
Yeah, exactly.
The reason that that's a great memory is because I remember that. And it also, since all of us have moved off the board, most of us still are involved in helping working
mm-hmm.
on the convention in some way, shape, or form. We're all still there.
Yeah.
And
we all still go.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'll stop going to Convergence when I'm dead.
Yeah.
But there is a point, we try to find a point, usually very late Saturday night or early Sunday morning, where the seven of us just get together.
Yeah.
And, you know, And we sit down, and Ishmael always says, so what does it feel like to have that tiger by the tail?
That's awesome.
It's just that moment of, you know, no matter if when I reach a point where nobody attending that convention has any idea that I had anything
or who
to
you
do
are, yeah.
with starting it, it still doesn't exist without me.
Exactly. Yep.
Which
they
is
can't
kind
take,
of,
no one can take it away from you.
Which is kind of fucking cool.
That's super
yeah.
fucking
anybody
cool.
Anybody knows it or not. Being able to walk into that convention every year and go, this convention
yeah.
doesn't exist without me.
Yeah.
Is kind of cool. And that's not an ego thing. That's
no,
actually generally
we all felt that at the Fearless
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Like looking around at all that
sure.
and being like, how does it feel to know that like 2 months, 3 months ago, this was just us
yeah.
sitting around in Tim's living room talking about, can we do this?
Yeah.
For sure. I know exactly how you feel.
And I was just so fucking proud of that convention.
You should be. It's
because,
great.
Because it's amazing. And it is hundreds of hours of work from lots more people than just me, but
yeah.
I'm still proud of it because of the fact that I'm one of those people that got the ball.
Hell sure. yeah.
So,
Nick, what's your favorite?
Well, I don't know, man. I have like good favorite and bad favorite. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
I have some particularly embarrassing Convergence stories
it's
about
true.
Myself.
It's true.
That I will save for another time. When I was subhead of Consuite, Consuite's the hospitality, like snacks and beverages
mm-hmm.
and chill space kind of. It was a blast to do, and it was definitely like an in the trenches together volunteer experience. Like, it felt kind of thankless because you hear a lot of complaints compared to how much positive feedback you hear, because it's so easy to criticize.
Well, everyone's
so easy to complain that you didn't get the right kind of free potato chips.
Exactly. Right? No, that's actually
Cool Ranch or go fuck yourself.
Cool Ranch or go fuck yourself. Literally what someone said once. Exactly what someone said once.
Yeah.
Do you have any Doritos? No. Yes, we have Doritos. No. Do you have any Cool Ranch Doritos? No, I'm afraid not. Well, fuck you.
Yeah.
So, So, one year, there was a guy who had passed out on the patio of Consuite. And a wandering host, some small, slender-framed woman who was wandering host at like 3 a.m. because she was bored and wanted to volunteer and help out, was trying to wake him up to, like, kind of, you know, move along kind of a thing. And he awoke so intoxicated, I imagine is the reason, that he kind of shoved her away when she woke him up. And it was kind of violent. It was violent. And whether or not that was his intention, he's responsible for his actions.
Yep.
So she called the bridge. They got the hotel security guy, which was Adam. Adam's like, hey man, you know, this drunk guy, I'm not really so sure about him. I'm kind of nervous. Like, you're a big dude. Why don't you come with me to escort this guy to his room? He's out of the con, but he has a hotel room with friends. He's gonna sleep it off. We're gonna talk to him tomorrow about why he's banned. When he's sober and can and understand.
And you looked a little more fearsome back then.
Yeah, too. This is my like punk days. I had a mohawk and kilt and big combat boots and shit. So I'm following the guy, and Adam and I are in this elevator going up the tower, and I'm standing behind the guy, and I see him reach into his pocket and pull out a pocket knife, and then open it behind his back and tuck it into his belt, the waistband of his pants.
Oh
open.
My god!
Mm-hmm.
And so. And he's loaded.
Yeah.
And I, the only thing I can imagine is he didn't have any malice in his mind. What he was doing was he was hiding the knife in case we were going to search him or something like
that's
that. That's the most noble thing I can imagine, whatever design he had for the knife. So as he took his first step out the elevator to follow Adam, the knife dropped out of his waistband onto the floor, and I just put my size 15 over it. And he turned around kind of drunkenly and looked back and forth and did kind of a sweep and kind of a dip to look around under me, and he didn't see it. And so he clearly was feeling that the knife was gone, but didn't say anything in case I didn't notice it. And he kept going, and I reached out with my bandana and picked his knife up and popped it in my pocket. And we walked the guy to his room and said goodnight to him and wished him well. And
did the whole, if we see you again tonight, you're going to be kicked out.
Adam gave him that spiel. I mean, that wasn't my job. Yep. I was just in Consuite where it happened.
Yeah, you're just the brute squad.
Right, pretty much. So I didn't say anything until we got back into the elevator and the door closed. And I was like, so he pulled this out of his pocket and opened it up when he was standing behind you just now. And Adam's like, oh, well, that's... I wish I could say that was a new one, but but you know, like, thanks. I have a safe for fun stuff like this that we take off people in the hotel.
That's great.
And so he bought me a drink and was super appreciative, and we both came away with a fun story about the time the drunk guy we were kicking out of Convergence pulled a knife on the head of security of the hotel.
that shit happens.
Weird. I've seen someone get arrested. And take, if not, like literally arrested by the police and taken out. Several years I've seen that happen.
Last year
was hilarious. I'm sorry. Yeah. Last year, I probably wasn't funny to the people involved in the thing, I'm sure. But just seeing one of those fucking otaku or whatever it is.
Cat army.
The Neko army cat dudes with his ears. And
he's a wiry kid too.
With his goddamn punk boots and his kerchief being taken out in handcuffs, and it was just like, you're gonna get arrested in cat ears, you fucking asshole. Your mugshot's gonna have cat ears and
painted on whiskers.
For the rest of your life, people are gonna be like, so what was up with the cat outfit when you got arrested that day?
You know, I mean, if you're going to the con, there's a lot of booze, and there's nothing wrong with getting 6, drunk.
6,000 people, someone's getting arrested. I'm sorry.
There's nothing wrong with getting drunk, but dude, just, you know, have
behave
a friend.
Yourself.
I guarantee that even if your friends think it was awesome that you were that drunk, a good 60% of the convention will remember you as an asshole.
Yeah.
A complete fucking asshole. And they will see you the next year you go and go, that was asshole that got so drunk on the smoking patio that we were that, you know, or that he threw up or whatever.
We have guys like that.
We do. There's guys that I point to that I'm like, oh, there's that fucking asshole who always wears the mesh tank top who asked if he could lick my boots when he was so drunk.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Things like that.
Oh, that crazy girl who wanted to lick my head when I shaved it for Kingpin.
Yeah, the girl who and then she told you that it was because she was licking all the bald guys' heads, like that made it better.
Right. Oh, now you have three kinds of hepatitis.
Yeah. Just keep in mind that, like, even though you may be too drunk to remember what happened, the rest of us are not getting very drunk. And I have a good memory for faces, so, and I have no shame about mocking you to your face that I will remember for the rest of your life.
So, those are our favorite convergence memories. We're going to move on to our five questions from a listener. Who is our listener this week, Molly?
Our listener is Randy Weed. Yes, Weed is my last name, from South Bend, Indiana. I should point out, it's spelled W-E-A-D-E. That's why he had to let me know that Weed is the way you pronounce it.
We totally got to get ourselves like a world map and start sticking
pins
in.
That's a good idea.
It's like Mead. Like right.
Weed. All right, from South Bend, Indiana. He says, there's a whole lot of stuff before the questions. I'm just going to read a little bit of it here. I love your podcast. It brightens my week when I get a new show to listen to. I am a proud gay science teacher and a huge geek. I spent most of my life in a Methodist church. I was president of my youth group and went to as many Jesus camps as I could go to. It was really easy to be in the closet in the church because when I dated women, I would just say, I'm abstinent and saving myself for marriage. Really, I didn't want to touch their vagina. Lol. I went to a Christian college and played in a worship band and did everything I could to get rid of my gayness. I went to counseling for a semester to get rid of my gayness. It didn't work, but I really wanted to make it work. I did everything that church told me to do in order to not be gay. It didn't work. And after it didn't work, it became very suicidal. It was hard to shave every day because the razor was such a temptation. My sister's best friend's brother ended up killing himself, and that caused my sister to say that if I did that, she'd be devastated. Watching everyone go through that loss saved my life. One day I was telling my sister about this girl I was dating, and she said, would you lick her clit? And I was like, no. And she said, then you're gay. So I came out. And I started a gay-straight alliance on Facebook for my school, and then the hate came. I was almost kicked out, was bullied for the remaining part of my college. College is supposed to be the best time of your life, but mine was the worst. Mm. They revised the chapel schedule and made me sit through a chapel ripping on gay people and saying why homosexuality is wrong. It's so hard sitting there knowing everyone in this chapel knows is hating on you and only you. I started my teaching career as a Catholic school teacher and had to endure all the hardships of the church again. Wow. It wasn't until I moved to Chicago I was free to be who I am. I still struggle a lot with these issues today because I am back in Indiana and nothing has changed. But I am teaching science and critical thinking skills to all my students and talking about evolution without saying that it's evolution. Sorry for being long-winded. Here are my answers.
No, that's... I think anyone who is living in a red state in the South...
Or even a red town in a blue state,
who is fighting the good fight and teaching the right things rather than leaving for somewhere that might be hospitable is really admirable. Yeah. It's really admirable.
If we ever have a chance to get him on the podcast,
Randy,
I would love...
Seriously, that's... I mean, like... And the fact that you are... out and proud and all of that despite being back in Indiana. I lived in Chicago and I went to Indiana a bunch.
You're alive. Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. Also, suicide's bullshit, so good for you.
Yeah. So question number one, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
The best movie I've seen in the last 30 days is Django. It was awesome and I love Tarantino.
Django Unchained. Word.
Fuck yeah, Django Unchained.
Word.
It's
really
great.
Like
I need to see that again.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind owning that. It's out.
Yeah, what, I picked up a copy the first day. I was just like, yep, this is one.
For sure.
Gonna watch this.
Who is your favorite atheist character?
Dr. Sheldon Cooper on The Big Bang Theory.
All right.
For sure.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Although they're very careful on The Big Bang Theory about talking about whether or not he's an atheist.
Well, just like, I don't think they've ever come out and said, Sheldon has Asperger's.
Right.
No, they haven't. They've said that he's not crazy because his mother had him tested.
Yep.
Yes.
But that, which is funny, but yeah. Like, but that's, but not crazy, but they've never said, you yeah. know, that he clearly has Asperger's.
And I think it's just fine for them to present the evidence and let the audience make their own conclusion, which yeah. is, I mean, he's an atheist.
If you, I will say, come to Convergence, and I'm gonna be on the Sheldon Cooper and you.
Sheldon Asperger's.
Sheldon
you, right?
Asperger's and you panel and on Thursday. So come by and watch that.
That'll be yeah. fun.
Question number three, what's your geekiest hobby?
My geekiest hobby is putting the Lego Star Wars kits together.
Oh, awesome.
This is great. I don't do any from the new trilogy because I don't want to look at the Lego version of fucking Jar Jar Binks.
you cruel, blocky mockery of...
I'm just picturing his stupid face.
Is that his whole answer?
That's his whole answer.
My son, Devin, loves Star Wars Legos. He puts them together. But the thing is, I have not made him believe this. He doesn't like anything from the new trilogy.
That's really funny.
He sees any of the sets from the new trilogy. I don't like that. And then he'll see like a sand barge or something from the old... I want to do that.
That's great.
I really want to put together one of the big ones, one of the new X-Wing that's coming out. Or
yeah.
He really wants the big fucking Death Star for Christmas, and that's really expensive.
They're out of print. So
you know how eight? Yeah.
No, there's a big you can still get one. It's at the Lego store.
Oh yeah.
Really? It's a different one.
The one with the levels that you can open up. Not the
which isn't as cool as the other.
I'm talking about like the $500.
I was gonna say the way Amy got hers was sort of the way she
all
got Jeremy.
To do is marry Jeremy.
Yeah, this one's like only $300 or something. He really wants it, which is way more money than anybody should spend on a kid.
$500 more than my current Lego budget.
And yet, I really want to give it to him.
Yeah.
Maybe like you and your mom and Pat and like uncles or whatever could all go in. Yeah.
He would go all kinds of ape.
Every kid needs to have that ape shit Christmas, for sure. Yeah.
So our question number four is: what is your favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich is a pulled pork sandwich with a sweet barbecue sauce, fried onions served on Texas toast. I respect that people like coleslaw on their pulled pork, but that isn't my style. I'm not a big pulled pork person, but I do like a pulled brisket, and I had coleslaw on a brisket sandwich for the first time in Texas when I was there for work, and it was like amazing. I could have eaten.
You like coleslaw though.
I love coleslaw.
See, I like coleslaw too, but I've never thought about putting it on a sandwich.
It's
now
super
I gotta
good.
Do
it.
Now
it's
I gotta
super
do
good
it.
In a barbecue sandwich.
I don't trust anyone, any restaurant or anyone in the world to make coleslaw that I would like. Mm. Like if you made us coleslaw, and knowing what I don't like about coleslaw, I would probably love coleslaw.
All right.
I just don't like anybody else's coleslaw.
Challenge accepted. I'm gonna make coleslaw Nick likes.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck with that. Last question. Question number five. What's the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
The stupidest thing that was ever said to me was when I was in therapy, if you can call it that, to get rid of my gayness. He showed me a bar graph of 25 things that I'm lacking in my life that is causing me to be gay. It was 25 stupid things like playing sports, hanging out with the guys, watching football, etc. It was horrible. So in order to get rid of my gayness, I have to hang out with guys more? Okay, done. And I'm still hanging out with guys to this day, lol. I have yet to locate the bar graph, so if anyone could find it for me and send it to me, I would like to frame it in my house. So you heard him, readers, or listeners, readers. If you know of the bar graph that they send to gay aversion therapy or whatever, like the 25 things that are making you gay, we would love to send it to Randy. Sidebar, I'm wanting to be Boba Fett for Halloween. Any tips on how to make that kind of costume?
Instructables.com.
Instructables.com has a great one, Randy.
Oh, good answer, yeah. I do need to say that it's just the most dumb thing in the world to say that, you know, gay. You can't be gay if you watch football. It's like, fuck that. There are gay guys that love football.
There's gay guys that play football.
Yeah.
It has
nothing to do with the other.
I know. I don't understand how watching a bunch of guys in tight pants bend over and pile on each other makes you less gay. If anything, football's the gayest sport.
Wrestling.
Oh, wrestling's pretty gay.
Women's golf. Super gay.
Foxy boxing's pretty gay.
Foxy boxing's kind of gay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Convergence, any day now, come see us in the Fearless Party Room in room 224.
Yes.
Or come to our live recording on Saturday at 5 p.m. in Atrium 7. That's July 6th.
Friday night at 8 will be in the room
and
party.
Friday night at 8 will be in the room party.
If you see us wandering around, say that you're a fan. We'd love to meet you, for real.
We'll have buttons and stickers. Hit us up. Otherwise, we've been Geeks Without God, and thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.
Breaking news, Neko Army declares war on Bloomington PD.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
And now I have Timmy in my head being like, well, then introduce me.